Welcome back. Come along as we dig into God's Word and search for truth, understanding, and a closer relationship with Him. This is Steve, and you're listening to the Dig Bible Podcast Corner. Welcome back to the Dig Bible Podcast. Appreciate you tuning in. And this week, the subject matter changed a little bit based on things that God's put in my path. This week, He's kind of see fit to show me that I need to trust in Him more than I do always. I think we all fall short there. We don't trust God. We worry about things that we shouldn't worry about. We have things come into our life that are challenges, are hurdles. And I think we got to look at this from kind of a big picture here. I think a lot of us out there have heard of the idea of the prosperity gospel. I know that everything that, God wants your best life for you now. You know, He wants you to be wealthy. He wants you to have all these great things in your life. He wants your life to be easy. And we hear this, and this is being preached in a lot of different places, and I'm sure some of you have heard this in different areas. And there's a problem with the prosperity gospel. There's a big problem with it. And that's that the prosperity that we'll see is in heaven. It's not here on earth as believers in Jesus and God in general. And I'm going to give us a couple of examples of this, and we're going to kind of see how this transpires and how difficult the life is for some Christians. And I'm not saying that some don't have it harder than others, and I'm not saying that some people don't have, relatively easy lives when you look at things from a material standpoint. But I'm going to tell you right now, money does not buy happiness. I've seen that in my life. I've seen that with people around me. I've never been someone who's wealthy or anything of that nature, but I've had friends who were people that were in my life, and I can see that that does not buy happiness. You are not happy because of material things. You will always have a hole in your life. You will always have a place that only Jesus can fill. Only Jesus can fill. All the material things in the world, the best life for you now, will not fill that hole. It won't. You need Jesus. And I say that in the most real way. And I mean, that is as simple as this can get. That's as simple as this can get. I can't break it down any simpler than that. But I want to go back and look at a couple people. First, in the Old Testament, Noah. Think about this. Noah had God come to him and have to build the ark, which took over 100 years. So he's having to labor on this for over 100 years, and everybody is mocking him. Everybody, like, why would you build a boat here in this plane? Like, there's, and a boat that big. Why would you do this? For years, he's dealing with people mocking him, telling him he's an idiot, telling him that these things, like, you're just a moron. He's the crazy guy that lives over in the, in the next valley. Like, that was who he was for a large part of his life to everybody he knew, everybody around him. And I would bet even his family questioned him at times. But in the end, he had to watch all humanity and the rest of creation die. He had to see that. He had to witness that. People that maybe he had called friends or people that he had seen. And I know it says the whole world was corrupt. But eight people and two of every animal, with the exception of every seven of every clean animal that was approved for eating, were all killed. Were all gone. Just gone. And he had to witness death on a scale that we've never seen. Never seen. We think we've seen, there's people who have been in wars and seen terrible things. Awful. And I hate that anybody's had to go through things that you have to live for the rest of your life. They're stuck in your mind. and you can't get them out. I think we all have some things like that, but I've never been to war. I haven't. I'm not a soldier. I have friends who were. Ben on the podcast, he has been to war. Like, there are people that have seen things that I'll never understand, but no one will ever understand what Noah and his family saw when that devastation came. I can't even imagine what they went through, like, psychologically. Like, I just such a traumatic event. But they trusted God. Noah trusted God. Even though he went through one of the hardest times, the only true full-on cataclysm in the history of the world, he lived through it and saw the death that came with it because of his faith. Think about Moses. Moses was raised in the court of Egypt as a prince. He had everything. He was not left wanting on a material realm. Like, they just, he had everything. But when he decided to follow the God of his fathers, when he found out who he really was, he lost it all. All the money, all the popularity, the fame, it was gone. Gone in an instant, just like that. Because he followed God, he lost all these material things. Now, William Tyndale, not in the Bible, was a Reformationist in the Middle Ages, and he followed after Martin Luther and kind of that Reformationist when they were starting to translate the Bible for a long time. And if we got look at biblical history, which is pretty amazing, for a long time, the only people allowed to touch or translate the scriptures were your priests or people in the church. They were fed by those people. You weren't allowed to read that yourself. You had to just listen to the words of a man who was telling you what to believe. You know, the Reformationists started changing this, Martin Luther being one, where he translated the Bible into German. And William Tyndale, influenced by people like Martin Luther, decided to do it in England. And because of his faith and the belief that everyone should have access to the Bible, he was strangled and burned at the stake by the church for heresy. Because he stood up for what was right. He stood up for what he believed. He stood up for the truth that he knew God had a plan. And he knew everybody needed to have that word. Everybody needs to have access to God's word. So important. He gave his life for that. If you look on the back of one of your Bibles right now, I bet you it says Tyndale. There's a lot. I mean, his name is on so many Bibles. And the majority of his translations are responsible for the New King James Version. He had transcribed, I think it was over 80% of it before he was killed for his beliefs and for that translation, but it ended up being the core of the King James Bible. Now, we can't talk about this without talking about the ultimate example, and that's Jesus. And I know we go into like, it's like the Sunday school stuff, but think about Jesus. You come to earth, and you are despised. You're rejected by your own people. Even though you're the one that's been foretold for generations. Like, everybody's been waiting for this guy, but because he wasn't exactly who they expected, they killed him. But Jesus brought a gift of forgiveness of sins. He brought love, compassion. And through everything, he was still killed as a part of God's plan for us, doing what was right. It was still part of God's plan that he died. Was it part of God's plan that Tyndale died? I don't know. But I will say that adds a lot of power to the story, a lot of power to the truth. was it God's plan that Peter and Paul, you know, are martyred? James is martyred? I don't know. But I would assume he said they would suffer in his name, that God knew that was coming for them. Following Jesus is not easy. When you have all but one of the apostles killed for their faith and many of the other followers, just because they believe and they profess something, that right there tells you how much conviction they had behind it, how much truth they knew that was. Like, it's just, it blows me away. I mean, it's crazy, but let's look what happened out of what they did. You know, if life is hard, but following Jesus is obviously, it can be so much harder. So many people have been martyred for their faith. And, you know, as much as some of this prosperity gospel tells us, it's not true. Once you're a Christian, it is not easy street. You know, God will bless us if we follow through on his plan, but we're not talking about earthly blessings always. We're talking about rewards in heaven. Following Jesus in this life is not easy. But let's look at a couple of things that we can say here. Is Noah, you know, he followed through God. He saw the ultimate disaster. He saw things that no one on this planet has ever seen before. And what came out of that? New life. A new world full of God's promises. A rainbow. All this stuff waited for him after the flood, you know, awaited him after the flood because of his faithfulness and that promise that eventually he would be with the God of his fathers. I mean, this is just unbelievable to see what comes out of following God. It is not always sunshine and roses. Things come out on the other end. You know, it God is going to have us in the palm of his hand. Some of our blessings will be in this life. Some of our blessings will be in the next. Think about Moses. In the end, he has to confront Pharaoh, one of the most powerful individuals in the world. And through trusting that, he was able to lead his people out of slavery, take them away from that abuse, from that torment, away from the gods of Egypt. He was able, through the power of God, and God uses people. It's amazing if you look at it. What does Moses say? He says, I'm not a good speaker. I can't do this. Oh, he goes, I'll give you Aaron. Like, God takes away all the excuses. God will take away every one of your excuses. There is not an excuse you can use that will take away what God's plan is for you. There is not an excuse out there. So just put that aside. Forget about it. Because God has a plan for you. It's there. It's right in front of you. God used every one of these people. And look what happens in the end. William Tyndale, his actions ultimately helped the translations becoming legal and changing so many lives of so many people who could now have the Bible in their hands. It was legalized shortly after his death. And even though he was killed, all he did was get his ultimate reward in heaven a little bit sooner. A little bit sooner. And I guarantee you he does not regret what he did. He got that ultimate reward. He's sitting up there in heaven. We'll get to meet him. I look forward to that day. And Jesus, without his suffering, without his death, we have nothing. Nothing. There's no hope. There's no anything without Jesus going through what he went through. I mean, he paid the ultimate price, and guess what? As when he did, he was reunited with his Father in heaven. I cannot wait for that. I cannot wait to be reunited with God in a physical form in heaven, to see Jesus, to see Paul, to see Peter, to see the family members that have gone before me, to see my Father. I cannot wait. It's going to be such a gift. Such a gift. We just have to remember it's not about our earthly life. It's about our heavenly life. I've used that analogy before. There was a pastor that did that, and he had probably 50 foot of rope and had, on the first 2 inches, had this red tape around the end of it. And he said, look at this red tape, this first 2 inches of this rope. That's our life here on earth, and that's what we're concerned about. The rest of this rope here, that's eternity. It goes on forever. That's our time with God. This life is such a minuscule thing, and we don't understand that. We have such a hard time comprehending that, but it's true. This life is such a minuscule thing. And we have a purpose in that short time that we have here to get as many people to come with us as we possibly can to be with us in the rest of that rope, the rest of eternity. That's our focus. That's our goal. What is one person's soul worth? It's worth everything. Everything. God's reward is beyond all comprehension. Like eternal life, it's something I try to fathom. I just can't. It's beyond me. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This isn't our permanent place. It seems like it now. You know, it seems sometimes like a day is a long time if it's a rough day. And then we can sit there and say, well, if I live to be 100, well, that's a long time. But it's not. We have to know that this life is short. Don't waste time. Build up for yourself rewards in heaven through the good works that you do here on this earth. Remember, good works are not what gets you to heaven. Good works are the result of wanting to live a Christ-like life. Good works are the result of that. Think about what Jesus did for us. Step up to the plate. God's got a plan for you. Don't miss it. Someone's salvation could depend on it. Keep on digging, everybody.